appreciate that. Wasn't that good? And that is our testimony. If we're saved, our glory is in the cross, and no less, no other than His wonderful cross. Take your Bibles, please. I hope you brought your Bible. Turn with me to Luke 23. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. We have been thinking and singing about the cross. This is the week that we celebrate. It's often called Passion Week because everything leads up to His passion, His suffering there on the cross. It may interest you to know or be reminded to know that of the four Gospels, 1/4, 25% of the four Gospel accounts deal with the last week of Jesus' life, which reminds us how important it was and how so many things happened in that week, climaxing, of course, in His death, burial, and resurrection. Having thought about this and knowing that we're going to be celebrating together as we are today, I was looking at the Gospel accounts, and the Lord seemed to draw my attention to a part of the Easter story, the Passion Week, that I had never focused upon. But as He began to rivet my thinking and my heart on this, I want you to join me today in looking at an aspect, a detail of the story that we find in Luke 23. Notice with me beginning at verse 26. The Bible says, "And as they led Him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Let's join our hearts together in prayer again, please. Lord, as we bow before You, we have so much to be grateful for, and we thank You most of all for our Lord and Savior and the price that He paid to die on our behalf, to pour out His precious blood on the cross for our sins. It was our sins that caused Him to die. Our sins He made an atonement for. And Lord, thank You for every part of this service drawing us to that fact. Thank You again now for Your precious Word to open up to us the meaning of what we find here. And we pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit will be at work in a powerful way, not only to teach us, but to change our hearts and lives, bring them into line with Your will, whatever that may mean for each of us today. Lord, I know that each of us in our hearts wants to be obedient. I believe that. That's the reason we're here. We want to hear what Your Word is, what you expect of us. So we pray today that we'll listen, that we'll learn, that we'll put into action what You'd have us to do, to give You the glory You deserve. And thank You again for that great privilege we have to live for You, let our lives count for You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In three of the four Gospels, we find the mention of this man named Simon. I want to read verse 26 again, and notice what it said about him. It's not a lot, but it's important. And as they led him away, verse 26 says, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. We find something along these lines in Matthew and Mark, and now here in Luke. I'd like to draw our attention to this man named Simon. He's called Simon the Cyrenian. He was from a place called Cyrene in northern Africa. What was he doing here? Why was he here? Why the mention of the fact that he carried Jesus' cross. I think there is a picture here that you and I need to see. I know there is. And you and I need to enter into this picture and see ourselves in the picture. The message today is bearing his cross. Bearing his cross. And I want you to see three things that I think just leap off the page as we study and as we see this unfold before our eyes, before our hearts today. Notice, first of all, an example of the Lord's timing. An example of our Lord's timing. Now, the Lord's timing is always perfect, isn't it? Amen? And this is another of many instances we find in the Scriptures that things happen according to God's plan and purpose and God's wonderful, wonderful timing. Simon was brought to this very place. It was the right time and the right place for him to be. And it was, in fact, the grace of God that led him to this very spot where he would be the one, he would be the one to carry that cross. If you look at the other gospel accounts, we'll not turn to it, but let me just point these things out briefly to you. It says in Mark 15 and 21, he was coming out of the country and passing by. That would indicate he was just doing what he had set out to do. He had come from the country. For all we know, it may have been his entry into the city, having come from this place, Cyrene, which was so far away, hundreds of miles away, and he was making his entrance into the city that morning when Jesus was being led out to be crucified. And so he's just passing by. Just, we would say, by chance or by accident. But there are no accidents with God. There's no chance with God. There's no such thing as luck, good or bad. And say, by the way, you're here by God's leading today. You're not here by accident. We're here by God's providence. We're here by God's leading. We're here by design. I believe that with all my heart. You're not just here any more than Simon was there. So he was just passing by, but the Lord knew exactly where he needed to be. And then another detail in Matthew 27, verse 32, it says, they compelled Simon to bear Jesus' cross. The word compelled means that they got a hold of him and basically said, hey, buddy, sir, we want you to carry this cross. Get in here and carry this cross. I believe they laid hands on him. That's what the word would indicate. They compelled him. That is, they forced him into doing this. Of all people, why'd they get him? Well, he probably was a burly fella, probably a pretty good sized fella to be able to carry the cross. And it just so happened that he was right there at the right place at the right time. And so it is in our lives. We see instances in the Bible of God's timing. My goodness, I started to go back and review some of these with you, but it would take too long. But you have read the Bible enough. You know how God has worked at special places in special ways at special times. I'll just give you one, for instance, the book of Esther. The whole book of Esther is all about God's timing. And Mordecai, who was related to Esther, said to Queen Esther, as she became queen and represented, in effect, all the Israelites, and God used her to spare a whole nation, all of God's people. Mordecai reminded her, who knows but that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? God brought Simon, the Cyrenian, for such a time as this. God has a purpose and a plan for you. He's brought you here today for such a time as this. This is a clear example of our Lord's timing. And then there's a second thing I want you to see here. This is a reminder of our Lord's suffering. No doubt about it. Why was it they wanted him to carry the cross? Very simple. Jesus was so weak he could carry it no further. He had come as far as he could go. Now, I know the Lord could have supernaturally given him the strength in that moment to carry it on. We know that. But this is just a reminder to show us just how weak he was, even before they nailed him to the cross. The night before, you remember he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he was carted off and haled before the judges. There he appeared before. We say judges, there was no justice. But he was hauled in before Pilate. then Herod, back to Pilate, and then the Jewish authorities. They beat him. They mocked him. They plucked out his beard. They put that awful crown of thorns. Somehow we see that and we think that was more of a decorative thing, but it was an anguishing thing. It was done in mockery and in spite. These long thorns. If you've ever seen a thorn bush from over there in this part of the world, these spikes of thorns and pressed down upon his forehead and around his head. And we know the blood was running. If you've ever seen that thrashing he took, the cat of nine tails. I remember the Passion of the Christ, the movie. Many of you saw that. Somebody made the comment just recently. It was in a planning kind of a meeting and about, should we show this? Maybe show the Passion of the Christ? And I happened to be in that and heard that comment. And just the mention of that movie made me cringe inside. And here's honestly what I thought at that moment. I don't want to see it again. I saw it one time. Now, I'm not suggesting you don't see it, but I'm suggesting to you that you feel like me in that once you've seen it, you've seen it. He was beaten with that cat of nine tails. The pieces of metal that were a part of that and the bones, it was designed to rip the flesh right off of a person. He was about half dead when he left that ordeal. And then he's carrying this heavy wooden cross. Some say he was carrying just the horizontal beam. Some say he was carrying the whole cross. And I'm not going to enter that debate. I don't know exactly what part of the cross, if he's carrying all of it or part of it, but I know it was heavy and he was weak and he couldn't carry it. So they say to Simon, you get under that and you carry that cross. It was a heavy cross. It was a blood-stained cross. They had not yet nailed him there, but because his back was shredded and his head was bleeding, there was blood on that cross. And so here's Simon. Picture this. Getting under that blood-soaked cross and getting that on his garments and wondering, what's this all about? Which brings me to the third thing. And I want to spend a little bit more time here. It's not only an example of our Lord's timing and our Lord's suffering, a reminder of that, but it's a picture of our Lord's calling. And that calling is for you and for me. That's right. Jesus taught that anyone wanted to be His disciple, there were three requirements. You can comb through the Gospels. You'll find there are three requirements to be His disciple. And may I just stop long enough to say this? That is the issue today of being a Christian. It's not making a decision, but it is becoming a disciple. That has always been the issue. Now, somehow the church has got confused with that, but that is still the issue, becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. And here's what Christ said when He was talking to people about considering coming after Him and being His disciple. He says, first of all, you must confess Me as Lord or Master. That's the relationship we will have. I will be your Lord, which means Master or Boss. We might say the one calling the shots. And you'll be My disciple. You'll be in a subordinate role. You will be under Me. You'll call Me Rabbi. You'll call Me Master. And so I am. You're under My authority. You're under My teaching. And so the first thing was a confession of Jesus as Lord. And then a disciple must also be willing to give Jesus first place. You remember when He said this? He said, He that would be My disciple must be willing to leave father and forsake mother and forsake brothers and sisters and houses and lands for My sake. That's what's involved. And what He was saying was, you can't have anything else in His place. He's got to be first place. That's what it is to be a Christian. That's what it is to be a disciple. But then He said a third thing. He said, if you would be My disciple, you must take up your cross and follow Me. He said this on numerous occasions. He said it in a positive way. He said it in a negative way. What do I mean by that? In a positive statement, He said, for example, Luke 9, verse 23, He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. But then He also stated it in a negative way. For example, Luke 14, 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So he made it clear. No fine print in the contract. He wanted everything to be out, open, and up front. Here's what's involved. You take up your cross and you follow me. Now, what do you mean? What's a cross? We tend to think of a cross as something hanging on a wall. Some of you may have jewelry. You may have a lapel pin. You may have a tie tack. You may have a pretty necklace. You may have a bracelet with a cross. But you know, in Bible times, that would never have been so. You wouldn't have put a cross on the side of your wall, mounted as an ornament. You would not have worn a cross. That'd be like wearing a noose today. That'd be like wearing an electric chair as a piece of jewelry. Because you see, a cross was a place of execution, wasn't it? It was a place of torture. It was an instrument of cruelty. And he said, you must take up your cross and follow me. A lot of people say, well, I've got my cross to bear. And meaning maybe a nagging spouse or some kind of chronic disease or physical ailment or maybe a bad boss. Well, I guess that's just my cross to bear. That's not your cross to bear. The cross to bear simply means putting yourself to death. It's death to self and selfish interest and aligning yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to go a little step further here. I begin to think about Simon. I begin to try to picture him. I'm still trying to picture him in my mind. I want to gain everything I can out of this little incident of him carrying that cross, because I believe it's here as a picture for you and for me and what we're called to do. So let me share some things that I believe are right here as we look a little deeper. First of all, this shows us how we bear our cross for his sake. Here was Simon from Cyrene in North Africa, and he was just going about his business. And he was just there in the crowd. He's just minding his own business. And you talk about an interruption in somebody's day. They say, hey, buddy, you get under that cross and you carry that cross. It wasn't his cross. Though he was carrying it, it was Jesus' cross, right? And when we carry our cross that we're called to carry, though it be our individual cross, it's really his cross. Because we're carrying it for his sake. It's not something we would choose to do in and of ourselves. It's something he's calling us to do. Nobody in their right mind would choose to bear the cross. The stigma attached to it, the suffering attached to it. It was a hideous thing in those days. And we need to understand it in that light. Yet Jesus said, you take up your cross. To take up our cross is in effect to take up his cross. We're identified with him and we share with him in his suffering. Not that we alleviate his suffering. Nobody could do that. But when we suffer to any degree for his sake, we're entering in to that degree into his suffering. And time and again, Paul, for example, would write, I am crucified with Christ. He says, I die daily. Paul said that. And what's true of Paul is true of you and me as Christians. We're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he went on to say, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We identify with Christ in his crucifixion and in his resurrection. That's the glory of it, you see. We die to self. We're raised to walk in a whole new life. We had baptism last week. That's what that pictures. Death and burial and resurrection with Christ, and we're raised to walk in a whole new life. So we bear the cross for his sake. We bear the cross as we follow him. Did you notice this? On him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. He was not leading Christ to the cross or to the hill called Calvary. He was following Christ with the cross to Calvary. And so it is. We're called to follow. A disciple is in effect a follower. That's what the word means. We follow in his footsteps. Wherever he leads, we say, we'll follow. And that's the Christian life. And he leads outside Jerusalem's wall to a hill called Calvary. The writer of Hebrews picks up on this in chapter 13, verse 13, "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp," that is outside the camp, "bearing his reproach." You see, there's reproach, there's scorn, there's ridicule, all that connected. They saw Simon carrying that cross, and he was involved in the stigma that attached to that cross. For all people knew, he was somehow in league with Jesus. Somehow he was sharing in the punishment of that. I'm sure people thought, who's that guy? He must have done something bad wrong. Just like Jesus, who was bent over and struggling even to walk, even without the cross. He's following after the cross. I thought about a service that I was in several years ago, a memorial service for a firefighter. And I do remember this well, even though it's been like 4 or 5 years ago. After the preacher, I didn't lead the service, but I was just attending the service. And after the preacher preached the service, he asked for anybody there that wanted to share a brief word to stand up one by one. And so several were sharing some different words, some kind words about this man who had been not only a firefighter in the city here in Bristol, but he'd also served for a time on the police force and also served in a life-saving crew, rescue squad. And I thought that was interesting, you know, that somebody had been involved in all three of those areas. But what really struck me about that service, and what I'll remember for a long time, I believe, is one of his fellow firefighters stood up and talked about how they went on calls together. And you could just see as he began to describe, even though it was a short testimony, I could just picture myself there on that call or those calls that they had. And little did I know until I heard this guy's testimony that they had a guy, and they have a guy in the fire department on these calls that they call the nozzle guy. You know, there's a lot of pressure in those hoses. And the water comes out with amazing force. And so they've got a guy on the front right there on the nozzle. And then they've got another guy. I believe they referred to him, the deceased man, as the hose man. And they worked as a team. And I loved it as he was portraying that. He said, "We went out on many a call." And he said, "I remember going into smoke-filled buildings. And I remember going on this call and that call." And you could always think, when I looked behind me, I knew he's going to be there. He was always in his place, the best hose man anybody could ever want. He was always in his place on the hose. You think about that in relation to us bearing the cross after Jesus. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants to be able to say, "There she is. There he is, coming right after me." What could honor our Lord more than following him, bearing our cross? He's carried his cross, right? And we're called upon to carry it after him, to follow him. And then we bear the cross only a little while. I thought about Simon, how he carried that cross. And I'm sure when he got into that, he didn't know exactly what was happening. It all happened so fast. And here he is going through the streets of Jerusalem, down one way and then up another. And this was a part of the humiliation. The convicted person had to carry their cross outside the city wall to the place of execution where the crucifixion would take place. And so I'm sure it was a long time, seemed like a long time, heavy cross. The blood coming from that cross that Jesus had carried for a time. Now he could feel it seeping in, and the bearing of that cross was heavy and it was a burden. But you know what? Eventually, it was over. And so it is with our cross bearing, right? Now we carry the cross. And how long we carry it, I don't know. That's up to God. How long we carry the load. How long we carry our cross. How long we pick up the cross daily. But what I know is, one day our suffering is going to be over. One day is the stigma of the cross and the pressure it comes to bear upon us, bearing that cross. It's going to be over. You feel pressure on the job, kids. You feel pressure in school for carrying your cross and being faithful to Christ. Just stay with it, because one day it'll be over. It'll be over. The Bible says this, Romans 8:18, "For I reckon," Paul writes, "that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." the sufferings of this present time. It's going to be over. One day, we'll lay it all behind. But then I want you to notice this. We have the privilege of bearing His cross. Can you imagine the jeering of the crowd? Now, I know the Bible says right here, we read it just a moment ago in verse 27, there followed Him a great company of people and of women which also bewailed and lamented Him. That is, they were grief-stricken. They were heartbroken. These were people who believed in Him and now were confused, and they were anguishing over what's happening before our very eyes. But make no mistake about it, the majority of the people in Jerusalem that day turned against Christ. Majority of people began to insult Him. They mocked Him. They ridiculed Him. And I'm sure here's Simon carrying this cross is heavy enough, and then to be taunted and to be jeered. And I'm sure he's thinking all the while, my goodness, what am I in the middle of? But you know, after it was all done and said, and then he looked back on that and realized who Jesus was. I'm sure he found out, if he didn't know already, who Jesus was. And I'm firmly convinced he became a believer. I don't see there's any other way. He looked back on that and said, my goodness, looking in hindsight, I had the privilege, I had the honor, the distinct honor of carrying the cross of the Son of God, who was dying for my sins and the sins of the world. May I remind you today, when it gets tough, when you're bearing His cross, when you're enduring that ridicule and the world's hatred and their vicious ways and how they can turn on you, and you're doing it all for Jesus Christ, remember what an honor it is. You know, bearing the cross is a tough job. It's tough. It's tough to live the Christian life, but it's such an honor. Amen. What could be a higher privilege than to bear the cross? And then I thought about another Simon. You remember there was another Simon who was a disciple? That's right, Simon Peter. Where was he? This could have been Simon Peter. We could say even so much as this should have been Simon Peter. Where was he? Well, he was nowhere to be found, was he? Nor were any of that group of disciples, as Jesus predicted. They all ran in fear, scattered as sheep without a shepherd. Now, thankfully, by the grace of God, Peter came back. Simon Peter came back. But here's what I want you to see. Simon Peter missed an opportunity. He could have been the Simon that carried the cross if he had been faithful at that moment. And here's what I've learned by experience, by hard experience, and maybe you have too. If you're not there when the Lord needs you, and you're not where you ought to be, and you're not right there in that opportune moment, God will use somebody else. And somebody else will have the privilege of doing what you could have done or what you should have done. Don't miss those opportunities. Thank God for this Simon. Simon from Cyrene. And he's just doing what the Lord had for him to do. Yes, it's hard, but there's nothing any better than doing God's will and bearing the cross. And it's true what these old songs say. I thought about a couple of songs. One of them is, I'm sure, taken from this very story. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? And the simple words say, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. There's a cross for you and me and every person in this building. Another one of our great hymns is a song that I can remember singing as a youngster. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Take up thy cross and follow me, the hymn says. Take up thy cross and follow me, I heard my Master say. I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Christ who loves me so. He is my Master, Lord, and King. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Is that true of us today? I hope it is. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, thank You for the great privilege of taking up our cross and following Christ as a disciple. Help us, Lord, if we've never done that, made a conscious decision to be a follower of Christ, help us to make that all-important commitment today. Thank you for giving us that privilege, that invitation to follow. And Lord, for those of us who've been following, trying to follow, though we stumble and though we stray, help us daily to take up our cross, realizing it's really your cross that we take up and follow you to the very end. For we pray in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. The invitation is a very personal invitation.